Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Midan.
And this is Jeff Ellison. You're listening to NFL Rants and Raves on Tuesday, August 21st, 2012.
Episode 8.12, the NFC South Assessment Show.
The show where we're going to take a strong, hard look at the New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons,
Carolina Panthers, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So just deal with it. If you don't like those teams, listen anyways. We've got news anyways. We got news coming out of rear ends.
Lots of news. We will be talking about those good old replacement refs.
Oh, replacement refs galore.
We don't have a good old boy for today.
Well, no, but we've got a good old injuries. We got ship all bangs up galore. We've got guys like, I don't know, Mike Vick, have you heard of him? Dez Bryant, have you heard of him? Miles Austin, have you heard of him? We've got, oh my gosh, the stories are endless.
And but we'll also be talking or answering some of your questions.
Your listener emails answered here on NFL Rants and Raves.
All that coming up, Jeffrey, in a moment.
Promise.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
We've also got one of the craziest rumors I have ever heard, that if this rumor is even partially true, there's some craziness going on in New York.
So our duty is to check all rumors, even if they're ridiculous.
We also have an update on London. London!
And this is a ridiculous one. That's right, London, baby's got a new team coming to town.
Well, and they're not, just so you know, they're not moving there forevers, okay?
Yeah. Well,
don't get all excited.
For yet. Yeah, 4 years.
For the time being.
Right now, let's start with quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Vick, who last night against the New England Patriots in just his second offensive series got ship all banged up.
He got an owie. He got a little owie on his, possibly his ribs. Yes, he did get ship all banged up. And Andy Reid figures Mike Vick will be ready for the season, even if he misses.
A little owie. Did you see the hit?
No, I still haven't seen the hit, dude.
That was not a little owie.
I've got to criticize what I've paid my $15 for preseason live.
Okay.
It takes them a long time to get the games up that have already been shown that you're blacked out from.
I don't recall that.
Well, it takes them more than an hour, 2 hours. I'd like them
okay, the game is over. Put it up now!
No, it's there's an hour some, later. It's 2 hours later. I'm not even talking about the condensed version that can take overnight, which I understand.
The condensed version takes
24
hours.
That's a lot of editing. I understand.
But the broadcast version is usually, I have found, up at least 45 minutes to an hour after the game is done.
I'm 45 minutes, I'm good. An hour, I'm 2 hours, which this was last night. It was 2 hours after the game, and I went to see the play, so I started
think
running.
I you're being a little picky.
I paid $15, and I think a few million people have paid $15.
Yes.
And I think for $15 million, say, you could have somebody turn that thing around pretty quickly.
Yeah, well.
That's just me. Okay. Thus ends the rant.
It is just you.
It is just me out of 15 million people. There's no other psychos. I think there's probably a couple other
all
psychos.
Right, well, I haven't heard from any of the psychos, thank goodness.
Psychos, call Steven.
the fact is that it's pretty quickly. And so you're telling me that you've already seen all the other games?
Well, I was doing radio when he got hit last night.
They've got other games up there.
I've seen those. I needed to see Michael Vick get hit, and I was doing radio last night, extra time on Talk Sport.
Yes.
And so I couldn't see the hit because I was, you know, trying to make sure I did a good show.
Which is good.
Yes.
But you it was live for everyone in the whole world to see on ESPN.
If they have cable. Yeah, so let's just be fair. And it wasn't being shown in the UK.
Like almost everybody and their dog has cable.
It was nowadays. ESPN America was not on last night.
All
so
right. You're not in ESPN America. Stop making the show. I'm just saying you could have hit record on your ESPN.
No, see, the kid was watching TV at home. I can't, you know. And the kid's going to school, and if he wants to watch his back episodes of Prison Break before he starts university.
Where he won't be able to get Prison Break?
I don't know.
I see.
I don't know.
Got a new thing, and are we gonna be doing that during the entire show?
Will it be bothering you?
It is kind of a little bit. The smell.
Smell of fruit punch bothers Stephen Miranda. That's weird.
Because it's not really fruit punch. It's smoky fruit punch.
It's not smoky. See, this is the okay. I'm not. We won't even
go
into it.
Let's not go into it. Let's get back to Michael Vick.
I will make it real simple for people who are curious. I am vaping these days, and people who know what that is.
They know that
that's not smoke. It's called vapor. Just like when water turns to steam.
Yes.
Is your kitchen being filled with smoke? No, it just looks like
it. It's steam. So it's vapory. Something's coming at me that doesn't smell pleasant. How about that?
Fruit punch is not pleasant to you. I'm a very sensitive fan of not pleasant smells. I am so not a fan of not. Watch this. I push this five times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What does that mean?
And beep, beep. It's off.
Oh, I see.
But you don't accidentally hit the button and burn out the battery.
I'm glad that that's what you're doing nowadays because, you know, that means you're not taking in all that tobacco.
Yeah, tobacco is not the big problem. You smoke a pipe, you don't inhale. And this is just more convenient because you can use it indoors around my wife and daughter, who's the most sensitive smeller I know, and she doesn't get annoyed. But Steven does, and that's okay.
All right.
That's okay. I don't have to do it here. I just enjoy vaping. And so anyway, so Mike Vick, they say he's going to be ready for the regular season starter.
Of course.
I say he better be.
But didn't they all just, like, seriously, when they saw him go down, and he stood up. And then he went back down again. That was the concerning thing, is that he took the hit. He stood up immediately, took two steps, said, this ain't happening. And he went back down on a knee and went back down to the ground and was like, yeah, I got hurt.
What I said on Mike Graham's show last night was that the problem with Mike Vick, as I stood next to him in the locker room, was his size.
Yeah.
You cannot have a 300-pound linebacker land on top of you and come away from that unscarred. Because when you weigh maybe 190 pounds, maybe 200 pounds, maybe, in full pads, something's going to give.
Mike hurt himself said yesterday, talking to DeSean Jackson, he said, I can't keep taking hits like that.
Well, no duh.
But I don't know how you don't take hits like that when you're Michael Vick.
We're now in the NFL where guys that are 6'5", 290 can run a 4.6 40.
Yeah, pretty fast.
So, yeah, you're fast, but you're mobile and you're stationary. You got a plan. You're working through a route tree. And you know what their goal is? Blow you up.
Kill you.
You know what? You have a lot more things on your mind than they do. So although you are faster than them by 0.2 seconds, that 0.2 second is all they need to be on top of you.
So I've got a question for you. This is a million dollar question. This is a hot seat.
Is this a hot seat question?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, how exciting for me. I've never gotten to be on it first in the day.
Welcome to the hot seat.
All right. You are the Philadelphia Eagles, and you've given them...
Can I be another team?
No, you're the Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn it.
Can I be another team?
Why? I want to be the... No, I don't want to be the Jets. I'm sorry. That was a lie.
Oh, man. All right. You are the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? You are Jeffrey Lurie, the owner.
I'm Jeffrey Ellis.
You are Howie Roseman, the general manager. You've given Vic a huge contract.
Yeah, and I released... Vince Young, who, you know, is kind of like Mike Vick.
Right, and he's now assured himself a second spot.
No, he's assured?
He's the reports out of Bills camp is that he is pretty much being thickpin for the number two spot there.
Tyler Thigpen. So, but as he learned the playbook is my question. But that's not your question on the hot seat here. Yeah. So
the question on the hot seat is now, at the end of this season, you can pretty much opt out of that huge contract you get Michael Vick.
Seeing as
the last two seasons, he's missed three or more games due to injury, do you cut your losses and say, you know what? If they don't go far in the playoffs this season, do you cut your losses and say, you know what? We got to go somewhere else. We got to go find us the quarterback that can stay healthy.
Now, when I'm on the hot seat here, am I completely honest with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
As if I'm not talking to the press, I'm telling you what's inside my head.
This is behind closed doors. The front office organization of the Philadelphia Eagles is talking about what they're going to do at the end of the season with Michael Vick and his huge contract.
I'm not renewing Vick. I'm going to find a quality quarterback.
Is that about renewing? He's already got a big contract. It's about whether you're going to.
I'm
going to
cut him.
I'm going to cut him.
Okay. And you know what else? I'm cutting Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid went all in for his little Super Bowl run with this. And I'm not going to call it a dream team because that's not fair. He didn't come up with that. But we did go all in with this setup with Mike Vick to win a Super Bowl. And that's clear that's not going to happen. And Andy Reid's tenure is done because you know what, guys? It just doesn't work after a while. And
so what I hear from you, at the end of this season, there is no championship for the Philadelphia Eagles.
If they don't get to the NFC championship game.
No championship game for them.
Okay.
Reid and Vick are gone.
Yeah. And I think a lot of other people too, frankly, which is too bad because I actually think the experiment of moving the defensive or the offensive coordinator to the defensive coordinator, I think that's working. And I think he's learning really, really well. And I think that he's doing a decent job. However, you're going to end up blowing the whole thing up.
I think when you finally do get to see the game, which is now available, by the way, when you finally do get
If I hadn't woken up 45 minutes ago, I might have looked at it.
Because condensed version, I know, you can 20, knock it out 25 minutes.
Some games are 20.
Yeah.
So, well, depending on how much the officials get involved, but we don't really need to get into that right now.
I've been loving it that, you know, I could sit there for an hour and I can knock out three games.
Yes.
It's just like, you're done?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, three games.
I saw three games.
Yeah.
You saw three games?
Every snap and every call.
Yeah. So that's pretty impressive. But the fact is that when you watch the game, this Foles kid who came into quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't know what it is about the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's Foles.
Okay.
That is his last.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
And
until I can prove you wrong.
And Jeffrey, I don't know what it is about the Philadelphia Eagles and their ability to make backup quarterbacks look good. Because this wasn't even Mike freaking Kafka.
No, Mike freaking Kafka is hurt, okay. And it is Foles, F-O-L-E-S, out of Arizona. Foles.
Thank you for proving me right again. I mean, you can stop doing that.
You should get used to it, but it's going to continue.
They made him look good. I mean, the kid looked like he could play quarterback in the NFL.
Again, the system is good, Steven.
He throws quick passes to LeSean McCoy, who is still as slippery as ever. He's like a little slippery snake, just gets in and out of places.
They call him Shady.
And then he makes a couple good throws, and he throws some touchdown passes, and it's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I know you're playing against the New England Patriots who are playing a vanilla defense, but still.
Ask Kevin Cobb who this guy is. He was that guy.
And that's exactly.
That's your point.
That's my point.
I know it is.
Kevin Cobb look good. They made Feeley look good. They made Garcia look good.
They made Mike freaking Kafka look good for a couple of plays until he got hurt.
Yes, that's true.
And if you can make Mike freaking Kafka look good, you got something good. Andy Reid knows how to develop quarterbacks. He generally knows how to protect them, make them better.
I think what concerned me watching
the
Eagles last night was their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense still, they are not good at defending misdirection plays. If I'm game planning for the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm starting all my plays one way, and then they're ending going up the other way.
I'm just, you know what I'm thinking through is Madden.
Yeah.
Do you know the controller?
Yeah.
So I go Y, which is for audible.
Right.
And then I usually take my slot receiver.
Move him.
And I left stick my slot receiver.
Motion him.
Which puts him on a slant route.
Okay.
Just a pure slant route.
That's the hot route.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying I take my hot.
Yeah.
And I go Y for my hot, and I'll take my B receiver, and I'll stick that thing all the way over to the left or the right, depending on which way he's lined up, and I put him opposite, and I send him on a fly route opposite field. What do you got? A slant route. I put him on a slant route.
Away from where
away from coverage. From and that usually beats almost anybody because he's not my primary receiver. I've still got my primary receiver, but I know what my second look is.
Yes.
And if my primary's covered, bam. I go B,
the other way.
And more often than not, I get I bust a big play.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work in real life because you have to throw across your body. That's usually not good in the NFL.
But in Madden, it tends to work.
Yes, but in the imaginary game of Madden, it's great.
And especially if you're a left-handed quarterback, I don't know why.
So there you go. That's all to say, Michael Vick, we're glad, or I'm glad anyways. I don't know how
the
other
next
people
raise
are.
Is a negative. We're all glad about that.
We're all glad that he is okay, But he is going in for an MRI. They got to check the cartilage. They got to make sure that everything is still. Fortunately, the x-rays were negative. There's no broken or fractured ribs. But here's the thing, Jeff. He was wearing specially protected
black jacket already.
And Darren Revelle, I think, said it best. The company that collectively last night was more interested in what the result of the x-rays were is the company that provided him the special flak jacket for
that.
His ribs.
Because they've done a pretty terrific job of creating a product that's reasonably light, reasonably mobile, and very protective. It's almost as if it's that medieval time magical chainmail.
Yes, yes.
That they wore in the Lord of the Rings, chainmail.
Yes, that you cannot
penetrate
with a sword. Yes,
that's what it's going to take to protect Mike Vick.
Well, they need to find the costume designer there for Lord of the Rings and see if they can come up with a real life version.
He's busy filming the Hobbits 1, 2, and 3 in New Zealand.
Three Hobbits?
There's got to be.
No, there's no three Hobbits. It's just the Hobbit. It's one.
Master's our friend. Master with the precious.
We're going to move on. Spent a lot of time there on the Eagles. Didn't really want to. But when you see what happened there with Vic going down, it was
Are we going to spend another 15 minutes talking about it?
Maybe.
Right, just saying.
The New Orleans Saints, who have had problems with their linebackers experiencing the injury bug, went out and made a trade with the Seattle Seahawks. They acquired linebacker Barrett Rudd for an undisclosed draft pick.
Now, that's interesting because I thought that the New Orleans Saints' biggest problems were coaching staffs and general managers and things. But you're saying that they have bigger problems, but that's okay. That's an interpretation. I've been watching the games.
I don't know what's going on, but it's not just the games. It's the practices and the camps.
I have not been watching camps.
I've been way too free time, which is good. Now if I could just find a way where I can make some money with this free time and covering all of these teams.
Making money with free time. That would be a novel concept. We'd have to move to Greece to do that. And then we can retire next year probably.
You are being mean. Anyways, so they've had some injury problems with their linebacking core. And Barrett Rudd, I think, is a great acquisition for them. I don't know what they had to give up.
The undisclosed? What does that mean? A camp body we're going to give you? Or
no, it's a draft pick. But
well, then it's
going to
be based on
a seventh rounder.
It's going to be completely based on his ability to make the team, learn the system, and perform. But I'm saying, depending on how well they do, it will be one of those picks that depends on how well he performs.
Well, if it's less than a fourth rounder,
it was a good deal.
It was a steal for the New Orleans Saints there.
Well, they could use a break.
They could. But you know what? I think the demise of the New Orleans Saints has been greatly exaggerated, Jeffrey. They're going to be all right on offense, man. And I don't know if you saw a tweet that I tweeted out the other day. And basically I said, Mark Ingram and Pierre Thomas look fantastic on successive runs and catches out of the backfield. How are you going to defend the Saints? I haven't even talked about Sproles yet.
Yeah, don't talk about Sproles because I'm still getting him in fantasy football around the third round.
Yeah, he's going a little too high for my liking.
Not Darren Sproles.
He's going a little too high for my liking. You can have him in the third. If he comes down to the fourth, I will snatch him there.
Sure.
But if you're going to take him in the third, knock yourself out.
I think it's a little early. The number of catches he can get out of the backfield, you end up with another wide receiver.
Which would be great in a PPR league. And in PPR league, I would take him third. But in
standard scoring,
I'm not sure. I just think I want now, someone who's going to get more touches per game.
Okay. I'm going to take just a – I'm looking at the clock here. I'm going to go up to the minute mark right now. Okay. For those of you who do not play fantasy football, our leagues are full. We've gotten our money, which lets us come to London and stuff like that, and we thank you. And we thank you for participating and having a good time.
Yes.
Go play fantasy football. This isn't about us. It isn't about us getting money.
Right.
Go play. It's fun.
It is.
Fail your first year, but learn a ton. Go out and enjoy the game. I'm out.
So one of our producers for
Talk Sport. First of all, I did it.
Yeah, you did. You did. 12 seconds. Great. But I just got to say, producer, Ollie, for Talk Sport Radio.
What's up, Ollie?
Been on.
Thanks for hooking us up last night.
He asked me for my cheat sheet. I did not put out my cheat sheet to the world.
You know that his email rejected it. I meant to tell you that last night.
He emailed me last night and he said, our email servers did not take
it. For some reason, TalkSport.co.com or Outlook.co.uk rejects Excel files attached to them.
So I sent it to his Gmail account, and he's like, thank you very much. He's like, he said his exact words were, I'm glad my draft isn't until September 2nd because it's going to take me that long to decipher your sheet.
I told him last night when we were in the break, I said, just make sure, I hope you can understand Steven's cheat sheet. Yeah. He says, oh, I'm sure I will. Yeah. I said, don't be so sure.
So I told him that tonight, before I go to bed, I will send him a little note explaining what each tab in the cheat sheet
is. Steven's cheat sheet is ridiculous. Yes. It's got rookies. And as far as cheat sheets, no, you can't have Steven's cheat sheets if you're in any of our leagues. However, did the email manage to go out last night with the show donors?
It did not because we're having a complication, but I will. That is something I will be working
complications and
today.
Watches, those are expensive. Complications is like the date and the time and the stopwatch and all that.
I will be doing that today. I will be getting the bugs worked out.
Well, okay, so we're trying to get out to the show donors.
But anybody who is a show donor already, know that you can go to the show donors page, and it is already there available for you.
So you can download.
You can download it from our website if you have access to the show donors page, which if you're a show donor, you should.
And if you have any reason trouble logging in, Steven@RARN.net, and I've seen his patience with people. You really could be as dumb as my mom and have trouble logging in, and Steven will still be patient with you. I'm just saying.
Is all. All right,
really
Chucky, Jeffrey, John Gruden come out and told HBO Sports that he would be willing to come back to coaching if the right opportunity presented itself. He just signed a 5-year deal with ESPN, didn't he?
I think he comes from the NFL where he thinks the contracts are written on wet cocktail napkins, and he doesn't realize that broadcasting deals might be different.
He is someone from ESPN.
He's working for Walt Disney Company. Their contracts are a little bit more, I don't know, tightly strung.
Ironclad.
Okay, that's a good phrase.
I think that at this point, someone from ESPN needs to approach Chuck and be like,
you're working for one of the largest entertainment companies in the world, not a freaking...
We just gave you a 5-year contract. Now, I'm sure he has an out clause, but I think this is a good time we go over that out clause and what that would mean to
John Gruden's coming out.
That's right. I think the out clause is probably he's got to give up, I don't know, a couple million dollars.
He's got to give Mike Tirico a big wet kiss on the cheek.
I'm not sure Tirico wants that.
No, Tirico would pretty much punch you. Wasn't it
story.
Fun hanging with Mike Tirico?
It was fun.
And Mike Chucky Tirico and stuff, and that was fun
but
up at Raiders camp.
You know what I didn't ask Chucky because I was afraid he was going to punch me is I want to ask, how come the dude never smiles, man? He always looks like he's frowning and wants to kill somebody.
I think this is exactly why he needs to get back into the locker room.
Yeah.
He's a competitor.
Yes.
He buys completely into the Pete Carroll philosophy of always compete.
Yeah.
And when he's broadcasting, he's competing.
Not competing?
No, he is competing.
Oh, he is competing?
He's got his game face on.
He's got the 5-year contract with ESPN.
He's competing with Jaws for airtime.
Jaws is gone.
That's my
Jaws is out of the boat.
He managed to squeeze him out.
He did.
He won that competition.
Because they want more Gruden.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. I've always had the feeling the last several years that Gruden is auditioning for head coaching jobs, and it is to the listener's betterment because he breaks things down ways only coaches do, and I learn when I watch his games.
Yeah.
But I'm certain also that he's auditioning because he'll tell the teams and therefore the owners what's wrong with what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you ran this kind of system and this kind of situation, you would see a different outcome. And he's mad.
Right.
And what he's doing is he's auditioning for every team in the league.
I think he's scaring people sometimes too. And
maybe
like,
just you.
Just have fun, man. Just have fun.
As long as Tirico's there, it'll never get crazy. It'll
all
never
right.
get intense.
Now, we got to briefly touch on this story before we go on to the NFC South.
Briefly.
But it's the replacement ref story. It continues to be a story, Jeff. Jim Harbaugh, who may or may not get fined by the NFL for his comments on the replacement refs, basically said, I've got a headache. I've got a headache from all of the crazy wild calls that I saw tonight. This was Saturday night after their game.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a different tune today. Today he was a little bit softer.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm going to back him up here and say this is how we all feel about the replacement officials.
Look, there have been bad calls in just about every game.
I think, first of all, let me say that I put it best on, I think, Facebook or Twitter. I said, the replacement officials are doing their very best. It's too bad that that's not very good.
Yeah, their very best isn't good for the NFL.
And it's not good enough. And then the thing that got dropped on me last night was not Rich Gannon, but Adam Scheid's co-host. No, not, I mean, but Pat Kerwin's co-host, Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
Tim Ryan says, note to the replacement officials, you think the game's fast now, wait till the regular season starts.
Yeah.
And if you're blowing everything now at this speed, wait till the regular season starts. You're going to have a rude awakening.
Yeah.
So that is what's coming down the pipe, and which is why... Steven, continue.
Well, here's the crazy rumor, Jeff. There's a crazy rumor coming out of New York Park Avenue office.
Park Avenue.
That the league is considering removing all officials from the field except for one to stay on the field to be the ball spotter, basically a glorified ball boy, while all calls
upstairs
will be from an officiating crew upstairs in the booth.
Now, because the game's not long enough?
Now, ProFootballTalk.com is the first one to report this crazy rumor. They were talking about this rumor saying that no one in Park Avenue wants to confirm this story, which, of course, they'd be kind of crazy to. But that is something that is being talked about by the owners right now, and it's pretty hush-hush.
Hush.
And I literally, people don't look at you crazy when you ask them, is this a possibility? But they don't tell you no either. You know,
absolutely not. We would never consider such an absurd proposition.
Such an extreme
way to officiate the games. We would never go to measures like that.
All I'm saying is if that is even a possibility, and if the league is even kind of remotely, even joking, considering something so drastic, just give
the
refs what they want and let's move on.
But do you know what the refs want?
What do they want?
They want to keep their part-time jobs that are full-time jobs.
Because the league doesn't want to give them any more money. I'll leave my part-time job and become a full-time official if you raise my salary. These guys haven't had a raise in 5 years.
Now, they also...
You can't have your cake and eat it too, NFL. You can't. You always do. Because everybody always caves to you, and you have your cake and you eat it too. Well, guess what? Right now, as bad as these replacement refs have made you look, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. That's all I'm going to say.
You said quite a bit, but you still are not solving the basic problem, which is that these officials want to keep their full-time jobs, which is as a school teacher or a lawyer for some of them. And with that, the medical benefits that come with that, the pensions that come with that, they want to keep those jobs that I have trained my entire life for. I suspect in 20 years, we can have an entire class of NFL officials that are professional, full-time NFL officials. Right now, we have a group of the best officials in the world that are part-time employees of the NFL.
Right.
Right now. Those are the best.
But my
so what do you do right now, Steven?
My understanding, Jeffrey, is that those officials are okay becoming full-time.
Every single one
officials.
Of them is walk away from their real jobs.
Maybe not every
and I
single
mean
one
real
of them,
jobs.
But we're talking about this as a union. And so the union has to agree for them. Right now, what they're not agreeing.
Well, my real job's a lawyer, and I like lawyering, and I also like being an NFL
then you
official
know what?
Part-time.
Go be a lawyer.
Okay,
go be a lawyer.
Guess who's going to step in and do my job for me?
No, Jeffrey, because they have vetted officials that are ready, that can't be replacement officials, that are ready to step in and become NFL officials.
So I'm in Hercules, you got somebody better
remember
than me.
The,
you got somebody as good as me.
Who is waiting in the wings to take over.
That's as good as me.
I don't know if they're as good.
No, because you're a head official.
But at least they've been vetted, and they are ready to become head NFL officials.
Correct.
Who cannot be replacement officials because they're already a part of the union.
They have a pool. I don't know that they have a large enough pool, Steven, and that's my concern.
All I'm saying is, if your concern as an official is that you want to be an attorney, God bless you. Go be an attorney. Move on. But for the refs, union, if they want this to work, they have to say, we are willing to become full-time officials because my
full-time
understanding,
employees of the National Football League.
My understanding is that their problem is that the league wants full-time officials, but they don't want to give...
They'll give them more money. They're going
to
give them more money, not much more money.
But here's the thing. I am making X amount of dollars outside of officiating in the NFL. If you want me to leave that,
somehow you have to compensate me for that.
And that's what the league benefits.
That's what the league does not want to do.
Including benefits. Yes.
Right. And so the league wants to step up, pay more money, and provide the refs benefits so they can become full-time employees of the league. That's what the league needs to do. And then the officials who don't want to leave their real jobs can move on.
So what you're proposing is a salary of about $250,000, $250 a year to be a full-time NFL official, probably with full medical and pension benefits, probably.
Right.
Just like anyone else at Park Avenue has.
But you know, you get a 401k.
No pension?
You get a 401k or something, you know, that you contribute to and the league would contribute to.
Yeah,
just like most companies do.
Okay. Fair enough.
That would be available.
And I'm an employee of the NFL now.
Yes.
Full-time.
Yes.
And I still have a lot of time on my hands. What are you going to require me to do with the time that's on my hands?
During the season, you're, of course, our referee. During the off season,
you're a cheerleader who goes to Target and does the new Nike jersey rollout.
Whatever. But we
do
will
they
find
really
a way.
Have to? I mean, would they really be little bees for the NFL?
I think you got to go. I mean, you're an employee of the league.
Correct.
So I think that
see, this is where I start wondering.
Where you know, they become committees. They look at these rules. What's working? What's not working? And the league gets enhanced because you've got full-time refs that during the offseason, all they're doing is looking at the rules. All they're doing is looking at the film from the previous season. How did we miss that call? How did we miss that call? Why did this review not work? And now you've got a great league because your full-time officials are doing work off-season that pertains to the NFL and not doing their whatever job that it is they go and do.
Steven, I agree with you completely. I believe if you have a $9 billion a year business, it is the onus is on you to make sure that when every snap of the ball could result in the careers of players, the outcomes of games, the futures of teams and organizations, all of which are worth at least $1 billion, but you are generating $9 billion a year in revenue, I think it behooves you to have it be officiated by full-time employees. And it stuns me that it's taken this long for it to get to this level where it's become an issue, and we've actually had to have a labor dispute about it.
So there you go. That's all I'm going to say about the replacement refs. I do not like a single replacement ref that I've seen.
Except for the girl. She looked cute.
And she was nice. And she didn't make any bad calls.
That night.
We haven't seen about since then. But that night we saw her. She didn't make any bad calls. But here's the thing. They look lost. Because now I know what now, deer in headlights.
What is lost?
Like.
No, because
deer in headlights.
Deer in headlights. They freeze. I know. You were up in Santa Cruz and you ran into one. You didn't run into one. You came across one.
Yeah, but I saw. I now know the meaning because you hear your entire life. Yes. Deer in headlights. Deer in headlights. I know now what that looks like.
Yes.
It was like this.
Yeah.
And that's all it did.
Wide eye, mouth open.
Froze. And it just froze.
But see, these people, if they did that, I'd like it better. What they do is they wander around with a football in their hand. They wander.
And then they kind of like all gather.
Then they, you know what? What do you think we should do? Did you see it? I didn't see
it. Yeah.
I was watching the receiver. You know what he did? Nothing. Oh, damn, you can't help us.
Yeah. Do you know that
just,
besides...
You know what,
do you know that
I'm
besides,
thinking the 32. Let's just put it at the 32.
And it's like, did you know that besides watching the receiver, you're also responsible for the interior linebackers?
I can't do that. That's a lot of work. What do I look like, a rocket scientist?
They've kind of looked lost. And that is my piece on the replacement refs. I think they got to go. I think the league needs to step up for the betterment.
Everybody knows.
And for the future of the league. They need to step up.
I just think, unfortunately, Stephen, we find ourselves in an interim phase.
Yeah.
Where we're between the future and we're between the past.
But please tell me that we're not an impasse, though. We're not at an impasse.
We can't be because too much is at stake. Yes. And as I said,
something has to be done before September 5th, right? September 5th, right around the corner. Just in case you didn't know, that's 15 days.
Well, I think it gives the Cowboys a better chance of beating the Giants.
Oh, shut up, man. I'm out.
With that, we shall segue.
No, we're segueing to, before we get to just real quickly, we're segueing to listener questions.
Well, most of them are about the NFC South.
Well, they are, so let's get some of them out of the way real quick.
Out of the way, as in they're an inconvenience?
Who is the second best QB in the division after Drew Brees? Ooh, that's a great question, because you got Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. And Josh Freeman, who I kind of like as well.
Well, we like Josh a lot. However, I think Josh is coming in last in this one.
If you look at recent history, how can you not love what Cam Newton is all about?
It's simple because how many playoff games? Oh, how many seasons of winning 500 ball has he played? How many seasons does he have of even a 500 record? Even a winning record.
Cam Newton doesn't play defense, man.
Understand that, but for quarterbacks are judged on wins.
All right,
Matt Ryan has taken his team to deep into the playoffs.
You are starting a team tomorrow, and you get to have the first pick of any quarterback.
Cam Newton. Andrew Luck, maybe.
You can have, okay, here you go. They tell you, you can have in this division, but you can't have Drew Brees.
Because that was the question.
Yes. Who are
Cam
you
Newton.
Taking? There you go. I'm taking
However, Matty Ice, I love.
Second, he would look at
that's
him
why I've been drafting him where I've been drafting him, right. Which is, you know, I think he's a steal at the 72nd pick.
Yes.
I think he's a steal there. The guy throws a lot of great balls. He's not mobile. He's not agile. He's not Cam Newton. He's not an athlete like that.
For Peter Westlake, Peter, you know what? We just kind of went through all the refs, so that pretty much hopefully answered your question.
Lee, stop it. I think the Panthers will win it. I appreciate that you're not saying it's the Patriots. I appreciate that. But stop it. Yeah. That wasn't a question. That's a statement.
Steve Moore asks, now, is this a make or break year for Josh Freeman now that he has an elite wide receiver? I don't know. I think the Bucs, with all the change that happened with their team and the front office and their organization and new head coach, I think Freeman gets another year to learn with this.
I think Josh Freeman gets another year, but he doesn't get any more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm a little scared because I didn't actually recognize him, Steven, because of how much weight he had lost.
Well, yeah, he's been working with soccer team.
I know, but I was afraid he was starting to look like Matt Ryan, where it's like, dude, I could knock you over. Yeah, you're still taller than me.
Yeah, he's still pretty strong, though.
Probably
I think he took
strong.
Off a little bit of the fat. That's all muscle, dog.
But he doesn't
he was
look
muscular.
He looks really tall and thin now. Where before he looked like a tree, he looked like Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And Ben Roethlisberger looks like he has chubby cheeks, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
I don't know.
But the guy is just, he's a tree. Josh doesn't look as tree-ish as he used to. And I think that, look, that I will say this once, I'll say it a million times, and I don't know if you know that I went all Watergate on Josh, which was you don't have to talk, just stop me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Just stop me if I'm wrong. And yes. I went through his season last year, and Josh just looked at me and had a big grin on his face and said, I appreciate your opinion.
Yeah.
And that was it, which was that when you lost your running game, you became one-dimensional. When you become one-dimensional, you get sacked a lot more, you throw a lot more picks, and you cannot be successful as an NFL franchise. And that's basically how I feel about the Buccaneers, and that better not happen this year with LeGarrette Blount, who's starting to look fragile. Okay, moving on.
Final one, best fantasy QB, Breeze or Newton? Well, I'm assuming that you're just talking about the division because best fantasy QB is Aaron Rodgers, period. But if you're talking about this division, I'm still taking Drew Brees before
Drew Brees,
him.
Absolutely, because those are guaranteed 27 points a week, and you can never sneeze at that. What chance are the Falcons going under the radar and winning the division? I think an outstanding chance because we don't know what Drew Brees on game day is going to be right. like without his head coach.
And we're not sure that the Falcons are going all that under the radar either.
I think they are relative to how hype around teams.
Yes.
I don't hear a lot of hype about the Falcons.
Because we're not in Georgia.
We don't live in Georgia.
Yes.
Georgia.
All right, final question. Are the Bucs worth backing to win the division at 14-1?
No.
No.
Leave your money in your pocket.
If it gets 25-1, then I'm going to maybe throw $10.
$10. Maybe. But not 10 pounds.
Yeah, not
7.50. £7.50. I mean, our threshold really is $10.
£7.50. All right, let's get to the NFC South.
Once again, thanks for coming out to Facebook and hitting us up with your great questions. Love them.
That was awesome. All right, the Atlanta Falcons.
The under-the-radar Atlanta
Fresh
Falcons.
Off their 10 and actually, they were 8-8 last year.
What?
No, that 10 and 7.
That's not true.
That is not true.
Don't make me find Emma. I'll give you Elena.
Shit, my butt.
I was
I
right
like
when I
ball.
Said 10 and Shit, 6. My butt. I was right when I said 10 and 6. I was right there.
Freaked me out, man.
So what do you got for these Atlanta Falcons, Jeffrey?
You know, Steven, I'm high on them. I'm afraid to talk too much because people might hear this before our drafts this weekend, but it should be no secret to you that I'm heavy on drafting Atlanta Falcons players.
Matt
Ryan, Julio Jones,
yes.
Michael Turner. I am not touching Michael Turner because of the injuries.
I'm even going
Tony Gonzalez. Yes, he's 36, here's why he's grandpa,
Steven.
When does
that make you grandpa, though?
He's 36, and he's still extremely good. Right. Not just a little good. He's extremely good. And anytime you get somebody that age at that physical position, he's not a quarterback, okay? He doesn't have special rules to protect him. He is in the midst of hitting all the time. And he's that age, and he's playing it at the highest level at tight end. I love him. So Julio Jones, I'm taking all over the place. Roddy White, I'm taking all over the place. I'm loving this Atlanta Falcons offense. They better have stepped it up on defense and given this team a fantastic chance to win the division and go deep in the playoffs. That's how I feel about the Falcons. I'm out.
I'm glad you feel so strongly about them.
Which is why they are flying under the radar relative to how I feel about them.
I
hear this coming.
You really don't know. You really don't know.
You think you do, but you just...
But you don't.
Don't. You know.
Are you telling me that? Are you telling me
that
I don't know, or are you thinking you don't know?
I'm thinking right now the league. I'm thinking everybody doesn't know.
You don't
know
think anybody knows.
The Atlanta Falcons. And they lost their fullback Brady Ewing to a torn ACL. That's going to affect Michael Turner's run game.
Yep.
And I think Matt Ryan is going to go as far as his run game is going to carry him.
Okay.
Because if there is no run threat from the Atlanta Falcons, and
there's always a run threat. Look, there's Jacquizz Rodgers, and then you have Lusaka Polite. You have Jason Snelling, who's a fullback that plays running back.
Lusaka Polite's their fullback, too, who's probably going to be the starter now.
But I just think they do have the depth at running, and Atlanta will always be. One thing that Mike Smith has shown us is that you take away his best weapon, and Michael Turner, nobody holds a candle to him, okay? But you take him away, they will still grind you for 85 yards on the ground, 100 yards on the ground combined between guys. They will always do that.
Remember, this was a team who had problems picking up fourth and short last year.
They did.
They were 10-6. They could have easily been 13-3 had they picked up fourth and one a couple times.
Correct.
All right. Now, that's beside the point. Their short running game. I'm just thinking their passing game isn't going to be able to carry them like some teams. I think the Packers can be a purely passing game, and they'll just run it every once in a while to keep people honest. The Atlanta Falcons have to run.
They do.
In order for their passing game to
because
be successful.
They're not beyond Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez. That's pretty much it because you go to Harry
and
Douglas.
Tony Gonzalez, too, is, you know.
What, are you saying he's older?
I'm saying he's old. I'm not calling him a grandpa.
Well, older
like
is.
You are. He's 36. Oh, a 36-year-old tight end.
Dang, this sounds like me. I'm listening to a mirror.
Have you
ever listened to a mirror?
No, I've never.
They're very quiet.
To a
very quiet.
Yeah. I think their threats are Julio Jones and Roddy White. Period. And stop right there.
Harry Douglas in the slots helpful, but really, I mean that's pretty thin at the passing attack. So I agree with you, Steven.
I just think that there's going to need to be more coming out of their run game. I think you're right, and you've kind of alluded to Jacquizz Rodgers. I think Rodgers is going to have to become a big part of the offense because if Michael Turner is going to be the pounder, the runner of the gut, Jacquizz Rodgers is going to be your change of pack, kind of come out in his little scat
slashback, maybe
run.
Dump it off to him.
And he's going to have to provide that threat out of the backfield because I don't think – honestly, I don't think Michael Turner can get it done anymore.
You know, Jacquizz Rodgers last year, 21 catches.
And I think that
from
increases.
From the backup running back.
I think you get that
up to 50?
That's
40,
a little high. 40? 40. I'm thinking between 30 and 40 catches
for
Rodgers out of backfield.
Then this is a scary good team because they can hurt you long, they can hurt you middle, they can hurt you short.
It's going to be very interesting to see how
tough
the Atlanta
team to
Falcons
defend
pay out. And just
and they're running
at
the no
schedule.
Huddle this year now, Steven. They've gone purely to the no huddle because they trust Matt Ryan.
That's going to be interesting to watch. And see if – I know they've been doing some of the preseason. I wonder how much they are actually going to do that in the regular
season. Well, it's not an – okay, I don't know if they'll do a pure no huddle or a sugar huddle or something, but it's
– I'm waiting for the next Buffalo Bills, though. I remember the Buffalo Bills. They come out, it's first and 10 in the first quarter with 15 minutes on the clock. Shotgun formation, no huddle. Let's go. And they did that the entire game. People were like, what? Can I get a drink of water? I mean,
Qatar.
You don't see that.
You can go home now.
You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, when you see the big fat defenders putting their hand on their helmet.
So you get the Atlanta Falcons come out, you know, their first series.
They
go no huddle.
It's got to be a long day for the defense.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to
be a long day.
Oh, and the Chiefs, we didn't even mention Tabahali getting suspended for one game for substance abuse violation.
You know, I think Tom Petty said it best. It's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard.
Okay.
That's all.
All right, because I'm not sure how that ties back into Tabahali.
No, I just love the song. Free falling, man.
All right, the Atlanta Falcons, Jeffrey, 10-6, better than or worse than last year?
Better.
All right.
Better.
He's got better. Moving on to the Carolina Panthers.
What about you?
I'm a week away from the prediction show. I'm just going to wait till then.
Actually, 2 weeks from the prediction show. Or are we doing it later in the week?
We're a week.
So we're doing the West on Tuesday. And then,
on
Thursday,
we're
doing
the prediction show.
Because then on Monday, we're
have to
doing
do
our preview. Dude, you're working me like a slave.
I am.
I can't. The beads of sweat. You're going to have to let me vape.
Get ready.
You're going to have to let me vape. You're going to have to get used to this.
Starting next week, we will have our first 5-minute football fix of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
So get ready to start working.
It hurts us, Master. It hurts us.
You're going to have to let me vape. You're going to have to get used to. You're going to get used to this.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Can you pick a different?
Yes, I can pick. I can pick spearmint gum, yes, which would make me gag
cherry.
Probably, but
really?
Cherry. It's not that. It smells like fruit punch.
It
smells
not
like a kid's.
I know what fruit punch
smells like. A kid spilled the juice box.
I still drink fruit punch.
And eat popsicles.
That is not fruit punch.
Sure smells good to me. What are you gagging on? You're just making stuff up in your head.
The Carolina Panthers and the sophomore season of Cameron Newton.
Heck yeah. Cam Newton, does he get worse? Does he get better?
Better. They're going to the division.
They got to have a defense, brother.
They're going to win the division.
Defense gives up 40,
can't put 50. Defense give up 30, can't put 42.
Now, this is not the New York Jets that have no offense to go with a decent defense, okay? This is a team that has one heck of an offense to go with the defense. But they've got to get better. They got to keep Luke Kuechly healthy. They've got to get John Beeson back from his hamstring. They've got to get James Anderson. These guys got to stay healthy.
When the dude takes out an ad in the newspaper, that you going to win a Super Bowl? You're going to win a Super Bowl.
Steven, if your eyes to my eyes, I'm looking at a list right now.
Okay.
Give me, and there's one that you could possibly come up with, give me somebody out of their backfield.
The Carolina Panthers?
Yeah.
I know them all. Stewart, D'Angelo Williams. What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about their defensive backfield.
Oh, I was like.
Defensive backfield. So who's gonna stop the deep pass in Carolina? Yeah. See, this is what I'm talking about, Steven.
You're saying their secondary shaking?
I'm saying that they're. Don't look at your computer either. You're going to your computer. I see you going to your computer. I'm just saying.
Welcome to the hot seat.
Stop looking at your computer.
All right. I've got the Atlanta Falcons, but I don't even have the stupid – I can't even find the
if
Carolina
If I gave
Panther
you their
fans.
Roster without numbers on jerseys, I don't think you could come up with the four backers
right.
that they have.
Okay, so their DBs, they got Gamble.
Left corner is Chris Gamble.
Chris
That's
Gamble.
The one that I was giving you. I was giving you Chris Gamble.
You didn't give me Chris Gamble.
No,
I just gave it to you.
No, but I was saying,
that's
I would
the
hope
one
you could come
know.
Up with that guy.
All right, hold on a second. They got
They got a safety that's not a household name, but he's there, and that's the guy you're thinking of, Sherrod Martin. Okay. That's the guy you were probably trying to get to?
No. Do they have a guy that starts with an E?
Can I buy a vowel?
His last name starts
Alex,
with an E.
Can I buy a vowel? No. Can I buy a consonant? Charles Godfrey is the
Godfrey,
other...
Godfrey! I knew Godfrey!
That's the E sound I was going for, so I assume. And then Captain Munnerlin. Captain Munnerlin. Steven, these are not household names. These are guys that you throw on and that you have a good time on.
Yeah, but they got a defensive front though.
Yeah, they got Ron Edwards, Charles Johnson, Terrell McClain, and Gary Hartley. I think they are best at linebacker with your John Beeson and your Luke Kuechly. I think that's where they're strongest, but this is not a great defense. They're going to have to step it up a huge amount. And they're going to have to make it so Cam doesn't have to play from 24-point deficits every game.
Yeah, it's going to be – you know what? I got to look it up now because I think they got – I think – don't they have Darius Butler?
You tell me, bro, because I don't know that.
I'm finding out right now.
Let me come up with an opinion and see if I can be right or wrong. No, they don't have him. I'm just guessing. And now you tell me.
Darius Butler there, I'm wrong. Is.
But, you know, you got to come up with something. If you're going to be wrong, you have to pull something.
You know, his fourth season, I think he's gotten better. I think he's had a pretty strong, solid training camp.
Yes,
and off-season.
Darius Butler to play the slot kind of guy, the nickel.
I think the Carolina Panthers did something that nobody. And their dog.
His daughter just had heart surgery. That was the end of last year. Yeah. Wow. How sad.
Well, they were 6-10 last year. Nobody thought they were going to win 6 games.
Correct.
Right.
Myself included.
I think this year they will be a little bit better on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that offense improves.
Oh, I don't doubt the offense.
I'm going to give you one guy that I've been. While everybody has been taking Jonathan Stewart ahead of him.
Yeah.
The guy that I've been nabbing is D'Angelo Williams.
Correct.
That guy looks studly. And I won't be surprised if the dude put 18 to 20 touchdowns up on the board.
Well, 18, yeah.
Because not only is he running the ball like a beast, Cam's throwing the ball to him and coming out of
the
backfield.
Yes, he is. Which makes him really scary. And, Steven, I agree with you completely there.
So, yeah.
I love
does
the Panthers.
Does their defense have question marks? Yes. I just like their offense. And the fact that Greg Olsen is becoming a huge target for Cam.
Well, and that they're letting him become a target.
Is becoming a second wide receiver that could be opposite Steve Smith that could say, hey, throw me the ball. I've seen him make some phenomenal catches this offseason.
The fact that you got Mike Tolbert at fullback. We love us Mike Tolbert.
I like the Carolina offense.
Get Mike Tolbert
a
on the phone.
Much.
I want to give him a hug.
Okay.
I love him.
but I think that the Carolina Panthers will be better.
I agree.
They're 6-10 from last year.
I would agree with that, Steven. And where they're going to pick those wins up, I think, is early. I think the fact that they've got New Orleans week 2 is going to be a help to them. They start off with at Tampa Bay. That's good for them. I think they can win a shootout with Tampa Bay quite simply. And, you know, they benefit from having Seattle that we still have a lot of question marks.
They got
Dallas
Giants,
middle of
they
the
got
season.
Week 3, they got the Giants coming in on a short week for Thursday night
football.
That's
right, Thursday night football, and they're at home. That gives you a
huge
edge
to kind of upset the Giants.
Oh, for Thursday night football starting week 2, high five!
High five! Thursday. I don't even know what my week's going to look like anymore.
Dude.
My week's all crazy.
The wives are going to be pissed. That's all I know.
You know what? I think I need to clue in Trisha tonight.
She'll listen to the show. She'll listen to the show.
She will.
She'll know in a couple days. By the weekend, she'll be giving you the look.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong, honey?
I just listened to the show today.
You know
lunch.
How cool my wife is? She's already Wednesday, September 5th, season opener.
Yeah.
Cowboys Giants.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to drive down to her office at lunch. We're going to go to Texas Barbecue King to put in our order for the food. And she's going to pick it up, and then she's going to bring it home, and I'm going to be already watching the game.
Will you bring it up for me?
No!
Please?
Yeah, we will. We could order you.
Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, September 5th.
Kara's at gym?
Kara's at
gym. I've already got a plan.
Jordan's
I'm like,
already at college.
Jordan's at college.
Oh,
I got nothing stopping me.
You eventually got to go get Kara from gym, though.
Dee Dee does.
Okay, Dee Dee.
The wife could do something besides make a decent living.
Okay.
Probably.
There you go.
Carolina Panthers, we're liking you a lot. I still think you probably
Washington,
take third place in this division.
Tampa Bay, they host Denver. I like their schedule.
I like their schedule too, Steven. I think
they get the AFC West.
Worst.
So Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos.
Yeah. And so let me revise my my ranting about Peyton Manning's wobbly balls real quickly.
Revamp.
I just like saying Peyton Manning's wobbly balls. So I'm revamping just because, look, Peyton Manning is not throwing, from my point of view, the super tight spiral that I would like to see. But you know what? He's doing everything else. And that is probably makes him a top five quarterback. You know what? So instead of being the number one quarterback, he's now fallen to five or six. Okay, you know what? That wins you a heck of a lot of games. And in the AFC West, that makes you light years the best quarterback in that division. You have a great defense behind you, and you have wide receivers that are playing so hard for you. One of the picks that Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow threw, I don't remember because they're starting to look very much alike to me, which is crap. But one of the wide receivers didn't come back on a ball that ended up being picked, or is an incompletion or something. It's like these receivers are not playing their hearts out for their quarterbacks. I'm watching the Broncos receivers, so this ball's not thrown perfectly. You know what I can do? I can explode on the ball. I can go get it. Yeah. And Peyton Manning garners that kind of attention and effort by his team. Yes. So there you go.
Kind of like DeSean Jackson yesterday not coming back on the ball. You didn't see it. Never mind. Sorry about that.
I'm going to watch you when we're done, and I'm going to probably pull out a real pipe. Yeah.
Gruden,
and go smoke at my house.
Went off on DeSean.
I look for, so I need to
You've
watch.
Got
was
to
this
go
first
back.
Quarter?
This was first quarter after Vic
what
went down.
What frustrates me about the 25-minute broadcast, I want the 60-minute broadcast. No commercials. I want to hear who the receiver was. I don't want to have to memorize everybody's number.
Oh,
because
see.
Caught by, next play, under huddle, blah, blah, blah. But what I found was Andrew Siciliano, his stories take way too long. Because
yes.
We go through five plays, he's still telling the same damn story. I don't get it because I've missed most of it. Because, and then the spider did this. And then it's like, next snap. This is why I don't like spiders. Next snap. Spiders really scare me. Next snap. Therefore, that's why I don't like spiders. I'm like, really? I mean, I appreciate he tries, but everything sounds like a highlight reel with Siciliano. It kind of does because he's done so many highlights in his career.
He's doing games.
He's doing St. Louis Rams. Apparently, you don't watch every game. Yes, he was with Marshall
I
Falk.
I do, but I'm
he
watching
was with
the
Marshall
game.
Falk.
I don't care
you don't
what
necessarily
the
care about the audio.
What that
Siciliano
say.
Drives me a little crazy because it sounds like he's doing highlights.
Yeah,
and
see.
He's a really good highlight guy.
I see.
But
yeah, half the time
commentary
is not even up because I'm just watching.
But it makes me crazy because you know drops back to pass complete to. Under huddle, he takes this. I'm like, was that an
under center?
Under center.
I hope they never.
Was
say
that
under
Danny
huddle.
Amendola? I think it was, but I don't know because you're
You've
going
got
so
your
fast.
10-second back button. Get your 10-second back.
I
button.
Still have to read the back of the jersey because
right.
They don't tell me they cut the guy
oh,
off before he says that.
In front of you.
Roster. No, sorry. I don't watch games with rosters in front of me.
That's how you're going to have to start watching it. When we get the all 22. The all 22 videos coming.
Is Amendola 16?
Yes, I think.
Then it was. And look out, because, again, I love that kid.
The New Orleans Saints!
Question mark!
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I want to give the Saints the question mark
question
status
mark.
Just yet.
Have they ever demonstrated that they can be competitive without Sean Payton on the sidelines, yes or no, in a regular season game?
Yes or no?
No.
The answer is yes.
When
and no.
did they demonstrate that they were competent with Sean Payton on the highlight without him?
They won a couple games when he was up in the booth.
Out of how many?
I think he was up in the booth
for five games. They dropped three.
Okay, so they won two. They were 2-3.
This is a team that shouldn't generally lose games.
Wait a minute. The first game that they lost when he was up in the booth was the Tampa Bay, and the Bucs were getting on their way to going to London, and that was pretty. That was just a pretty crazy game. No, that was the game where he got hurt in. Was the their first loss.
It was 2 years ago that he got hurt? Dang. So here it was. It was San Francisco that he got rolled on. Okay, week two, 2010. They lost in overtime at home to Atlanta. They won against Carolina pre-Cam Newton.
Right.
Okay. that's really sad. They lost at Arizona.
Yes.
They went to went to Tampa and they won 31-6. So they rolled a bad Tampa team.
Okay. I'm thinking about last year.
No, I'm talking when he got his leg injured was actually two seasons ago.
That was 2010.
Isn't that crazy? 2010.
Wow. I thought that was last year.
Well, because they only lost like two games last year.
Yeah.
They opened the season losing to Green Bay in the most dramatic game one that I can ever remember to start a season.
That was
so much fun. Right. And they lost at Tampa 26-10. They lost at the Rams 31-21, and that's it. That was all their losses.
Right.
So they had the Thursday, September 8th kickoff game. And then they lost two games in the middle.
One was to the Rams where it's like, how the heck that happened?
Well, yeah. And then that was just the bizarro. Yeah. Nobody got that game right. If you did, you are way too big a Rams homer.
Yeah, but in that game, in that season where he broke, they beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
And it was his final game in the booth, I believe.
Boop, boop.
And that's pretty big, beating the Steelers.
So that would have been the next one after they lost to Cleveland. And Cleveland was bad.
But
this
Cleveland that year was coming off of Colt McCoy beating the Patriots.
Okay.
They were like on a rise right before they kind of did a meteoric fall. But they had just beaten the Patriots.
Game recaps from years ago?
I know.
David Bowens looks even older than he is, with specks of gray in his hair and beard. So after the 33-year-old Cleveland inside linebacker intercepted Drew Brees twice Sunday and returned them for touchdowns, teammates celebrating their stunning 30-17 victory over the defending champion New Orleans Saints joked at Bowens' expense. They say I'm the oldest guy to score two touchdowns since Larry Zonka, Bowens said, alluding to the Miami Dolphins. That's good stuff.
All right. I like the New Orleans Saints. I think because they finished the season at 13-3, you have to question
they go back
whether
to 10.
They could be better or not. I don't think they
could
be better.
I think Atlanta gets
11,
and I think the Saints get 10, and I think, unfortunately, Carolina probably gets 9.
I think early on,
it's going to be tough.
And see, I see it reverse. I think early on, they're going to be fine.
Hmm.
Just the whole everything that's happened this offseason, carrying them into the beginning of the season where they're like, it's us against the world.
Yes.
We're
that
going
chip
to
on the
kill
shoulder.
You. Look at us.
No, and
then they start doing the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Like,
I'm right here.
Do it. Kill me.
And also the fact that they start against the Redskins and the Chiefs and the Panthers, you know.
Yeah,
and
their
the
first three are really, really easy for them.
Yes. Although
they have to go to Carolina, which makes it easier.
After their bye week, when they get Vit back, and now Vit comes
now we're
to
going to a head coaching change.
His
style, philosophy,
and
ethos,
if you will. The schedule gets harder. Eagles, Falcons, Niners, Falcons, Giants, Bucks, Cowboys, and that is kind of like. Probably the whole "I'm right here, do it" is probably going to wear off by then.
He's saying that with no arms and a leg.
He's become the Black Knight.
I'll bite your kneecaps off. I will. Okay.
And I think that's where they run out of steam. They will be worse than their 13-3. I believe.
Yeah.
Just how far worse, I don't know just yet. You'll find
because
out
we haven't filled out our little prediction sheets.
You'll find out in a week.
And if you're a show donor, you'll be getting it.
Or what does a show donor mean?
What does a show donor mean? Like, throw us $10.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the $5 a month, $25 a year. You don't have to do what the really cool guy, Richard, who gave us the $100.
Yeah, hey, dude, that was
that
very
That was so
generous.
Cool you get
Thank
a shout-out, dude.
Yeah, that's just
You may get shout-outs all season long.
You should probably say the right name.
All right. I'm not looking at my mail and vamping. I'm just talking, bro.
You are vamping. You're a vamp.
Thank you.
Vamper.
Don't make me tell another Phyllis Diller joke.
Why did you? You know
I'm not
what?
Saying. No, I'm not bringing the show down. She
I'm
cannot
sad.
Bring me down. No, she's too funny. When funny people die at 95, I am happy because I love them and I'm so grateful for all the joy that they brought me. And she is freaking hilarious in life or death. I'm not saying that housework kills you, but why take a chance?
So where are you
on the New Orleans Saints.
You were looking up the guy's name so we can make sure we got his name right. Where am I in the New Orleans Saints? I tell you, I already said that we're looking at 10 games and we should probably move on to the next team because I've got email. Don't think I don't. You could, if you would talk about a team for a second, then I could do that.
Did you say better or worse?
I said worse. I've already said that by three games.
Then finally, the final team in the NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Bucs. What can we say except for injuries?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I know it's not the prediction show, but I'm going to go on a limb and say this is going to be the first time in a while that worst to first does not happen.
Wow. You know Gregory was from Napa, and we were in Napa?
Yeah, that's where I
really... We could have gone out to that awesome barbecue place with them.
I told him that hopefully... our relationship with the Raiders grows, and Napa becomes a yearly thing, and maybe next year we'll be there. And
love you, Gregory. Thank you.
Yeah, very, very much appreciate the very generous donation. Back Tampa to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jeff. It's going to be hard.
How hard?
For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be better than 4-12, or 4-12 last year.
What?
It's going to be hard for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be better than their 4-12. Now, they're in a division that's stacked, dog.
Yes, stacked like that girl with the push-up bra. I'm not kidding.
Yes. They, there probably will be even with the majority of the teams in the AFC South.
Which they're fortunate to be playing.
Yes. So those games are going to be battles. I like what Doug Martin is doing for their offense. The rookie running back. With the combination of him and LeGarrette Blount, I think they're going to be pretty good. But Freeman hasn't really been impressive throwing to Vincent Jackson.
Yet.
Mike Williams?
Yet.
Yet. I know. How long is it going to take for them to gel?
Another week.
You got to gel now, dude. The season starts in 15 days.
He's still got a new Dallas Clark in there for him, and we know how hard Dallas works. We know how big he is, and we know the guy just is
in
committed.
In 18 days, the Carolina Panthers are going to come to Tampa Bay. Nobody's going to be there to watch you because it's Tampa Bay, and you can't sell out. The game's probably going to be blacked out, so there's probably going to be more Carolina Panther fans there that are going to travel down from Carolina to watch this game.
LA
you're
going to
be playing in Tampa Bay, but there's going to be more Panther fans cheering for Cam Newton, Superman, and I think they're going to struggle. And that one game, what I saw with the Bucs last season is because they were, remember they were youngery?
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem with the word youngery is that it incorporates young. And they were so young that once they lost in London and they came back and they thought that they could overcome that. And then they lost again.
And overcome that, you mean those injuries to the running game.
And overcome the injuries to the running game. Then they came back, they had a week off, and then they played their next game with kind of their questionable running game. It didn't work out for them. They lost that game. And because of the youth, they could never bounce back. They could never recover. And they didn't win a whole game the whole rest of the season.
Okay. Now, it's time for the Get Your Facts Straight guy.
Get your facts straight.
Okay. Steven, the number two running back on that team was?
Ernest Graham.
Okay, I misled by misspeaking. The number two rusher on that team.
Oh, the number two rusher last year?
Yes.
Was probably LeGarrette Blount?
Josh Freeman.
Was it Freeman? I was going to say Freeman, but
yeah,
I knew
your
it was
gut.
A trick question.
No, Blount got 781.
He was the leader.
And Freeman, 238.
Okay. There wasn't another running back.
There wasn't.
Well, because Ernest Graham went down in London.
Graham cracker crust turned into s'mores.
He had one play and he was out. He
exactly.
was gone.
Exactly.
And that changed the complexity of the entire team.
It changed the complexity of, I want to say, who was the head coach? I remember his name.
Raheem Morris.
It changed Ra's entire trajectory of his professional coaching career where he was doing a great job. His demeanor was amazing. He reminds me so much of a younger version of kind of a Mike Socha. where he's just very businesslike, very matter-of-fact, little bit of fun, but mostly it's about business. It's about getting your work in. Do your work and let the game take care of itself. Put in the hard work. Work hard, guys. Come on. And just very cerebral, and I loved him.
Is it a possibility that we were the bad luck for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They never lost after they hung out with us.
I know. They never, never won after they hung out with us.
After that, yeah.
And I sat at a bar with Josh Freeman for a good 20 minutes. All we had was tea.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear.
It's not like we partied with him. Like,
no.
Party.
No, we sat at a bar because that's where we sat, and it happened to be at a really fancy resort, and it was still morning, and we were drinking tea together. And Josh didn't even have a sugar in his tea. He was just cream. And
after coming back from London, they had their bye. They got crushed by the Saints, crushed by Houston.
Oh, God.
They lost the bus. They lost to the Packers.
Off so fast.
But everybody was losing to the Packers, and they actually kept that game close. They lost to Tennessee, got crushed by Carolina, got crushed by Jacksonville. I don't know how that happened. Got crushed by Dallas, got crushed by Carolina again, and then got crushed by Atlanta. They never won again, and they weren't even in some of those games. The only game they were actually even in was against Green Bay, and that got away from them at the end.
And that's when people say that coach lost the team,
right.
Josh lost the locker room. Look, there is nothing that accounts for the complete decimation of a running game. Your two running backs, due to injury, due to anything, you lose your two running backs and your fullback, who is a talented runner, and that's what you had planned on going into the season to win with and to compete with. You lose that. You ain't got a prayer, brother. Yeah. Can Tom Brady be Tom Brady without anybody running the ball? Seriously.
Probably not.
And now we're talking about a young team.
And LeGarrette Blount, when he came back, he was a shade of
a shell of himself.
He wasn't a shade. He was a shade.
He was shady.
Kind of like a shadow.
But he wasn't like Shady McCoy. He was like a shadow.
But there you go. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
What are you going to say?
Even. They're the same as last year.
They're the same as last year.
Not worse, not better. They will be the same.
I'm going to give them an extra game or two.
So better.
Better. As long as those guys aforementioned can stay healthy, LeGarrette Blount, now Doug Martin, who I think they're really high on.
Doug Martin's been great.
And Eric Lorick, please return to form. Come off that injury. The Stanford fullback, we loved Eric Lorick. Great. The guy is huge.
I've been snaking Doug Martin, the same. The 13th round.
I know that. I know that, and I haven't because I've been just. It's not fair that I get to draft with you so many times. I don't want to steal your deep sleepers.
Yes,
but Doug Martin is a terrific pickup. But Eric Lorig is not somebody you would ever draft. But he's the fullback, and he's the guy that LeGarrette would put his hand on the back of and just move the pile.
Yeah.
And when Eric Lorig went out, we had such a good time with him because he was from Stanford, and we got those connections. There was nothing. So we've got to hope that they've at least, maybe Robert Hughes, the Notre Dame rookie, can go. No, they got him from the Bears, I guess.
All right, Jeffrey, we're getting ready to leave, but you can go ahead and give me a bing, 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 bing.
Not breaking news.
That scares me. Right now.
All right, breaking news. If I just go calm, I could probably find it faster instead of panicking. See? I found it faster. Boom, boom, boom. I'm News Night, and this is Will McAvoy.
I love that. That's good stuff. Mike Wallace, wide receiver of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has told his teammates that he is expected to show up this weekend and sign his restricted free agent tender.
So now we've gone from, I'll be there any day now, to, by the way, he's been saying that for over 2 weeks, I'll be there any day now, to this weekend, which means I ain't playing this weekend, I will show up and sign this weekend.
Yes, he will show up and sign his free agent tender this weekend.
Has he been losing $30,000 a day?
I don't
AKA
know how
MJD.
I don't know how they're going to work that.
I want to know.
I do know
Let's get Kerwin on the phone. I want to know this stuff.
The minute the Steelers gave Antonio Brown a $5-year, $42.5 million extension. And the minute Ben Roethlisberger in his second pass of the game against the Indianapolis Colts is a touchdown pass, a big one, by the way, to Antonio Brown.
I should get my ass in camp.
My boss is like,
what levers do I have? Yeah. Oh, that's right, none.
Yeah, I better go in this weekend and sign my free agent.
Time to get in there and get things signed, girls.
So that's what we're going to leave you with. Thank you for listening.
The best weekend of the preseason is upon us in a fortnight, and we can't.
Unless you are fans of the New England Patriots, because they don't play any starters. They preseason for them is, you know, whatever.
Let's figure stuff out.
It goes our way. Okay, we do our preseason our way. Forget what traditional people want.
It's Bill Belichick. You can argue with greatness. I ain't.
I'm Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves.
Bye. We're out.